Warning: the following program contains adult language, adult themes, and spoilers. Viewer discretion is advised.
It don't matter if the cold wind blows, gonna wind up working in the thick of it.
Welcome to this week's episode of This Week's Episode. I'm your host, Angie Furnaught. With me, as always, is alien abductee Chris Randazzo.
This is some bullshit.
Underappreciated deputy Karen Randazzo.
This is some bullshit.
And intergalactic lawbreaker Evan Goldstein.
If you do that for 16 weeks, you can have owl neck.
This is episode 275 for the month and a half of March and a half. This month was my pick. I chose Resident Alien Season 3, Episode 1, Lone Wolf. We will be discussing that. And first, there's context here, but do you know the context? I'd like to request feet pics at mail@geekaid.com. But don't send me your feet. Send me your pet's feet. Don't make it weird. Like, I want to see some cute toe beans. I want to see those little pitter-patter paws. You know, send them to us. Use the contact form on the website or join our Discord. You can find the link in our show notes. It'll work this time.
Yeah, that expired. I fixed it. We're good now.
Yay. So I want them. I want all the cute pics of all the cute feet, not your feet. I don't like those. All right, guys, what are we watching? I want to hear from you first, Karen, because I want to see how you're doing.
That was too fast.
Because I'm the prettiest.
Yes.
Obviously.
Toad's hobby.
So I am very happy to report that the Peacock series Girls 5 Eva was rescued by Netflix.
This is why I wanted to hear.
I get one season of Firefly.
It was coming.
Yes, and Firefly will come up every time that any other show gets. But
it's perfect.
Like Firefly, Girls 5 Eva also deserved more seasons. Classy segue.
There it is.
Smooth. Yeah, I'm so happy it's back. I feel like the fact that a lot of people didn't know that it started on Peacock means that, and they didn't really, I don't know, they did a huge promotion blitz of season 3 on Netflix. So like, I feel like a lot of people don't know it's there, and I want everyone to know it's there and everyone to watch it so they make more of it. Because it's really, really, really good. So this season, the girls are like on a tour that they're planning themselves. And they are also in their own ways kind of discovering their new selves, given the growth that they've undergone in the first two seasons that was caused by getting the band back together and the changes that that brought to their lives. So Dawn, who is married and a mom and works in her brother's restaurant, she's the songwriter of the band. She's pregnant, and the being on tour has given her the opportunity to just not be a mom right now, which is like rings so true for me. So, and she's also the planner of the group, so kind of indulging in that freedom that she's got now. Has caused her to, like, all she wants to do is, like, take naps and baths and read books, and not, like, book venues for the group or write new songs or anything like that. Gloria has split up from her wife, and so her objective in this season is to, like, sleep with every kind of lesbian there is.
Cool.
So she can see what she's been missing. Busy Phillips character, whose name is escaping me at the moment. She is split up from her boy band kind of like fake relationship husband. And realized that, like, she's never really had her own personality, so she's trying to find out what that personality is. And Wiki is trying to, like, stand on her own 2 feet rather than kind of just be a fame whore like she's been pretty much her whole life.
I like the way you were trying to think of a way to say it and you just went, fuck it.
Yeah. It was sort of like, is there a better way? No, that's what it is. So they, you know, set out on their tour, and their first gig does not go well, and they're like, what are we going to do? And there's this running gag that they are end up staying in this chain of hotels that is like, I forget the exact name, but it's like Divorced Dad Suites. And there's a vending machine with birthday presents in it.
Amazing.
There's so many, like, wonderful little details in this show. But by the end of the first episode, Wiki, Renee Lee Scoldsberry, has realized, like, she's going to take charge of this tour because nobody else, you know, is doing anything. So she books Radio City Music Hall.
Damn!
For the end of their tour. And, like, the big finale of their tour, and books it for Thanksgiving Day.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
And it's like, they're like, you know, they're not at that level. There's no, like, even if it wasn't a holiday, there's no way they're going to sell out this venue. So the whole thing then becomes them, you know, going to various stops on this tour and, like, trying to figure out what they can do about this Radio City gig. Like, is there any way they can possibly, like, get famous enough in time, or is there any way they can, like, somehow make a deal and back out of this gig? And it turns out really well in the end, but it's kind of, this season's just about them, all of the women kind of, like, kind of becoming their true selves outside of their roles in anything else, in relationships or families or you know, work or anything else, and realizing that, like, growing at your own pace is, like, not only a fine thing to do, it's kind of the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the final scene is really sweet when they play Radio City. I won't give away what happens, but please go watch the hell out of it, stream it, just, like, put it on your Netflix on repeat. I watched the whole thing in one afternoon because there's six Damn. Episodes and they're half hours.
Did you feel like they carried over, like, the essence of what the show was into the
Oh,
Netflix
absolutely.
Role? Yeah, okay, cool.
I don't feel like there was a ton of new songs this season, but it kind of didn't make sense for the story. They were more touring. They weren't, like, trying to write a new album or anything. Or
That's next season.
Yeah, who knows? Hopefully, if they get more seasons. But they, if for that to happen, you have to watch it. So watch it and watch it again and just, like, put it on a loop on your Netflix so we can bump up those numbers and Netflix can put more money into the show because it's fantastic. And I'm so happy that we got what we got and then we got more of it. But I'm greedy. I want even more.
Mm-hmm. When did season 2 end? Okay. Wow. Okay.
I have no idea.
Just about 2 years ago.
There was a gap.
June 9th was the last episode of season 2. So there was a good chunk of time between those seasons. Well, I'm glad it came back.
Me too. I know we've talked about the show like as the main topic before, and I don't know. It just, I'm so happy it's back, so I wanted to bring it up again.
Nice.
Okay, so I'm making Chris wait because I know the show that he picked, and I need to hear more about this. So, honey, do you want to share, and then I'll go, and then Chris, you go?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about a show that I came across called Tracker.
Okay, that's nice. Next. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow. Hurtful, honey. Hurtful.
It's the touching tale of a neon, of a bright blue geo tracker that's lost in the woods and gains sentience and starts an entire commune in the woods with other lost geo trackers.
Spoilers,
a couple
Chris.
Of Jeeps.
Chris, you just, come on now. You're ruining it for everybody. I was going to be slightly more tactful than that. It's a CBS drama.
Did you get to the SUV wars yet? It's really fun.
Riveting stuff. Riveting.
You know.
It's really interesting.
You know what? Go ahead, hon. Go ahead. Enjoy talking about your 1920s show, hon.
It's the 1950s.
Fuck.
Now, talk about it. Go.
It's a CBS show. It stars Justin Hartley. The only reason I'm watching this is because I recognized him. He was in Smallville. I think he played Green Arrow. And it is a drama about a guy who is, he calls himself a rewardist. He has like a group of like team members, each with their own specific skills, and they find cases or like situations that there is a reward offered, and he goes and fixes it. Most of the first couple of episodes, they have been finding missing people or certain situations that need to be adjusted, that, you know, like what happened with my car kind of situation. The entirety, it's, you know, standard CBS drama. I expected it to end in like that heartfelt, you know, oh yeah, we're doing this for the better good. But I have watched, I'm going to say 4 episodes of this so far. And at the end of every episode, no matter who or what he saves, someone cuts him a check. Like, they hand him money. So he's not being altruistic. He's not doing it for the better. He is doing it for cash money. And I'm like, I am happy to see that. It's delving a little bit into his like backstory about how he was raised by a kooky dad who, you know, wanted to go off the grid because, you know, he was a college professor and something went awry, and him and his brother, they were trained to live off the land, and they're giving a real heavy, heavy backstory, and every episode is a milder version of his backstory. So it's just a CBS drama. I can't, the cast, you may recognize a couple of them, but they're all, you know, like they're all bit parts in this episode where it's him and like the person that he is helping. So everybody else sort of just like taps in and does small things and then goes out. He's carrying the show completely. Whether he's doing it well or not, I can't, like, I'm watching it with like half an eye, because it's a show that he is like a soap opera guy. And if you like that kind of storytelling and whatnot, like, this will be right up your alley. I'm watching it for the sentimental value of, you know, Smallville. And I want this guy to, you know, get more jobs and whatnot, but it's all right at best for me. So it's CBS. Like, I want CBS to be better, but I can't. It's no matter how hard I try or how many chances I give them, it ain't working out. So
I have to say, though, it's better than you hate watching like I do with witch shows.
Well, so, okay, number one, I want CBS to be better because every time CBS does something, like, the theory of it is good. Like, yeah, this should be a good thing. And then it's...
I can think of one particular theory CBS did that's not very good, but...
What is that?
The Big Bang Theory.
I see what you did there. That was terrible.
That was...
I'm actually kind of sad nobody picked up on it. No. Sorry, when I think CBS, I think of that trash. So, I mean, yeah, no. Hell with that network. Let it burn in hell.
Damn, sir. Tell me how you really
feel. There's plenty of other networks
Isn't
out there.
Isn't CBS the one that produces, like, the Star Trek shows now, though?
Yes.
I guess technically. Yeah, all right, fine. They can't.
They're also in cahoots with Paramount. So, yeah, they got their pokers and a lot of fires, so I want them to do better. And
fingers in many sinister pies.
Specifically for the fact that they did shows like Big Bang Theory and whatever the offshoot of, you know, childhood version of that was. Like, they have a fan base, and they should be putting out better quality stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
well, they have a fan base because of the poor quality stuff.
Well, okay, segue. You know what else CBS made?
What's that?
I Love Lucy. Da, da,
da, da, da. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yes, they did.
You know, CBS.
How far the mighty have fallen.
This is the show that I've been watching, guys. Like, truly. I don't know really that there's much else that needs to be said. If you've ever seen the show, you know how great it is. The last one that I've watched 6 episodes so far.
Are you actively watching them in order?
Yes.
Okay.
And I mean, I don't know why a show that was aired originally in 1951 is still to this day relevant. Like, the third episode, they talk about the diet, and it was just, I mean, the one-liners in this show, my God. And the way that, like, the way they talk about weight, like, she goes on a diet and she, like, I mean, she ends up under the table trying to eat, like, steal steak from the dog. Like, I mean, it's just, it's funny. She's so funny. And I really, when I was a kid, I remember doing laundry with my mom, and they had an armoire in the bedroom, and the TV would sit on top of the armoire, and I would be the person who matched the socks, and I freaking hated it.
To this day.
I was just going to say. It's true. To this day, I hate matching socks and doing.
You don't like laundry. You hate doing laundry.
I do. That is also true. I need someone, please, for the love of God, come to this house, like, just edit my wardrobe for me. Tell me how to be a person. I can't. And then give me a minimalist wardrobe, because I friggin' hate laundry. But all that aside, I just think the show is great. I think that they have such funny bits. You know, the one show, the quiz show, she's got the long lost husband that is supposed to show up, but first she lets in basically the homeless man off the street, which I still think is just absolutely hilarious. But yeah, the show.
There was an episode that I walked in on you watching where Ricky and what's the upstairs guy's name?
Fred
and Ricky, yeah, decide that they're going to go to the club and bring dates that are not the wives. So the wives say that they're going to get dates, but then something happens where
the first episode.
They dress up.
Yeah.
To pretend to be other humans that their significant others will not recognize.
So they come in as like country, real country girls,
deep country,
but then the guys figure it out and they kind of turn the tables. Yeah, I mean it, but that's the thing, it's just so funny, and the energy that goes into it. And I mean,
there was an episode where she thought Ricky was trying to kill her.
That one was so good. And that one was the one that kept making me laugh, because she was reading a book and then she would throw the book out the window, and eventually she has the book on a string. And she just pulls it back up. Like, I mean, the shit's funny. It's so funny. And I really love just the comedy that she brought to the screen. And I mean, historically, like, this set the tone for sitcoms. This show really helped
a lot for television. Yeah. I think this was the first show to show them in bed together.
I don't remember that. I know it's the first show that had a recurring cast, where they have like a continued,
like it in later seasons, like in the beginning of the show, when they showed the bedroom, it was two separate, like, twin beds.
Oh, I don't know.
And then later on, they showed one bed, so that was like a huge deal.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even realize that. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like, you know, Lucille Ball, like, she doesn't, I didn't read a lot about her, because I've read up on her and stuff, but like, I didn't see a lot about her being like a crazy activist or anything like that. Like, she was just a woman who loved to act, and she really struggled to like get her career to take off. And then when she finally did, like, she was in her mid to late 30s when it was really hitting big, especially when she started on I Love Lucy. And then, you know, they had their own studio at one point that she ended up running. And I just think that that's just, it's really cool. And I love that, you know, I, as a 9-year-old little girl, was folding laundry with my mom. And now as a woman in her mid 30s, I've returned to this show and it's still comforting and it's still wonderful. So that's just kind of what I've been going to. And I think you appreciate it too, Hun, a little bit. But, or maybe you're just confused. I don't know. Because, like, I legit laugh out loud to this show.
Constantly. And what's funny is, it's like, if I'm in the room watching it as well, I'll watch it. Now, I find it entertaining. I just don't find it laugh out loud. But I will go, oh, she's going to laugh at this one. And then I'll turn and look at you. And sure enough, like it's the wholesome goodness of it is what tickles you the most.
Yeah.
But little known fact about Lucille Ball, because of her, that's why we have Star Trek today.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask if anybody knew that.
Yeah.
Bringing it back to Star Trek and to CBS.
Yeah, that was actually what made me segu, if you will.
Segu.
But yeah, so just honoring a legend, the really cool things that she did, her fierce independence and unwillingness to give up, and just love it. It's a comforting show. So
she's an icon. She was ahead of her time. Mm-hmm. She's listed in a. You know, I have all these like feminist picture books for my daughter, and she's in a lot of them. And there's one that mentions her, and there's just a picture of her, and it's from the, you know, Chocolate Factory episode. And Ellie was looking at it, and she goes, "Why is she all dirty?" Like, oh, I'm not raising you right. You have to see the Chocolate Factory episode.
Well, and that's a thing too that, like, you know, from the. I don't want to dive too deep into it, but just that, like, feminist perspective is, like, the whole point of this show, well, not the whole point, but, like, a whole aspect of the show is that she is a housewife, and when she tries to venture outside of that role, it doesn't usually go very well for her, but what it really comes down to is that I feel like it just kind of... I obviously have no idea what it was like to be a woman in that time, but it feels to me as if she was bringing humor to a role and kind of pointing out the many flaws in what that dynamic was and making fun of it and making light of it in a way that I think women found relatable and men still felt was watchable.
Agreed.
And I think that that's to, like... You know, to be able to tread that line, and then you look at how people get up in arms about things today, and everything has to be really, a lot of times, just in your face. I really admire what she was able to do. And like I said, today, you know, over, God, I don't, 70 years plus later, like, it's relatable. How many things do we look back on and go, yeah, I can relate to that? And I don't know what that says, other than I think there are some issues that societally women will feel away for a very long time, and it's nice to know that, like, there's still something we can connect on that is around that humor.
So as you guys are talking, I knew there were some other really interesting and cool facts about her. She became famous when she was 40, so later in her life. She had kids later in life. That's another thing. But it was because of her that Desi Arnaz got his job.
Oh, yeah, because the studios didn't think that he would be appealing because he wasn't a white man.
Correct.
Like, yeah.
And because of that show, a lot of very common things from... that show are now in TV today, two of which are multi-camera filming and filming in front of a live studio audience.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh, and they were the first ones to do the 35mm film, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On higher resolution, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, she was accused of being a communist, but, you know, Red Scare kind of thing.
Who wasn't?
I mean, I was just going to say, truly.
And the last fact in this list is she was best friends with Betty White. And God, would I have loved to have been in a room just listening to those two.
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
Oh, good times.
So, Chris, you want to talk about what you've been watching?
No, not really.
All right, cool.
I'm just kidding. Oh. It's freaking great. I would like to talk about X-Men 97.
Yes.
Have you watched any of it yet?
No.
No. Don't worry about spoiling because, like, I'm actively going through the first series. Boy, was the pilot rough. Australian Wolverine is rough.
Oh, that was a different show entirely. That was a pilot for a totally different show that never happened.
Right.
This was a completely separate attempt from Pride of the X-Men. But Pride of the X-Men gave us that X-Men arcade game, which was
yes, it did.
Pretty awesome, yeah. Oh, but Pride of the X-Men has such cool animation in it and stuff, and Nightcrawler. Australian Wolverine, yeah.
That's the only thing that sticks out, because he's very vocal in that episode.
He is, yeah. And you know, Kitty's pretty loud and young and teenager-y, and starts off with Stan Lee, and White Queen's, like, just pure evil, like, oh, God. Nothing moves the blob, and I wouldn't dream of trying. I love that thing. I watched it a bajillion times when I was a kid. But anyways, yeah, no, that's completely unrelated from X-Men, the animated series on Fox, which started off with the Night of the Sentinels. X-Men 97 had an interesting job of picking up where the original show left off, because I don't know when the last time you watched the original show was. But the last season of the original show is a mess.
The budget was originally when it aired, probably.
I mean, very few people that were watching it at that point, I think. The budget was slashed. So a lot of the animation changed. A couple of the voices were different. The stories were not great. And, like, Chuck wound up in space because he got shot or something, and only Lilandra and the Shi'ar could save him, so, like, he all went off to space, and then everybody was, like, sad, and that was the end. Like, well, here's the end. The X-Men move on without Professor X because he lives in space now. The end.
Wow.
So this basically picks up right where that left off. The voices are very cool. They retained the original voice actors where it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this show has happened a long time ago, so some of these people sound a great deal older. Perfect example would be Jubilee is played by a new young woman, because you have an old lady playing Jubilee, you're going to kind of notice that. Which, in fact, you do, because in the most recent episode, it's very Jubilee-centric, and she winds up fighting Mojo and teaming up with an older version of herself, who is voiced by the original Jubilee voice actor.
Nice!
Which cool. is pretty awesome! And you get to see some really cool, like, evolutions of her powers, which, like, I mean, I don't know much about Jubilee other than I know eventually she turned into a vampire in the comics, but I think that's over now. But, like, so, like, grown-up Jubilee mastering her powers, like, she was able to turn her, firework things into, like, saw blades and stuff that would, like, Whoa. Hang out by her hands and, like, shoot them out of her feet to rocket around and stuff. It was really freaking cool. But, anyway, back to the voices. The guy who originally did Cyclops is dead, so the guy they got to replace him is very good. He sounds very, very similar to the original Cyclops. In fact, if you hadn't watched the show in a long time, you probably wouldn't even notice a difference. Cal Dodd is still doing Wolverine. He definitely sounds a bit older, but he's so distinctly still him.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, every now and then you'll hear a line where he slurs his speech a little bit more than he used to, but other than that, it's still pretty spot on. Beast is the same, Rogue's the same, Storm's the same. I think that's about it. The new guy who's doing Gambit sounds just like Gambit did in the old show. Which is great. The guy who originally did Gambit, I believe, is going to be guesting as Cable in a future episode. So, you know, he's still involved in the show. He's not Gambit anymore, because I'm pretty sure he just doesn't sound the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So the first episodes, the first two episodes came out on the same day. They look great. The animation is a really interesting combination of modern and invoking the old show. The two voices that stick out as just being flat out different are Magneto and Morph.
Magneto being really weird, like a jokery kind of laughter thing, right? In the original,
Magneto was
no.
Magneto Morph. Was very, very stoic in his voice.
Yeah, Morph.
Come. Oh, Morph was He was very kind of weird and squirrely sounding, which really fit his personality because he's a huge goofball. Mm-hmm. They're not really trying to do that anymore. He's still goofy and he's still very much him. He doesn't look the same. His resting face looks like, I believe, the comic book Morph. I know the character of Morph was invented for the old TV show, but he's since been integrated into the comics and he looks more chameleon like with his resting face. That's what he looks like all the time, except
features, right?
What's that?
There's no features.
Yeah. Okay. Not much in the way of features. Okay. But he does still use the old Morph face, whenever he needs to look like a person. So it's not like they're just retconning him. Like, that old face is very specific, and in fact, I think it's the third episode where they had to do something with Mr. Sinister. He had, the creepy purple under his eyes, possessed by Mr. Sinister face again. It is 100% in line with what happened in the old show. Magneto's voice is the guy, whoever's doing him now is just not even trying to sound like the old cartoon Magneto. He doesn't sound bad, but it's jarring how different he sounds. I also don't like the way they're drawing his face. There's something really weird specifically about Magneto's face. Like, he's extra super pale and his lips are a little bit too pink. Like, there's just something off about his face. But other than that, he's been
he looks movie ready. Great. Like they're trying to glam him up a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. It's weird.
Flowy hair. He's very, very shockingly stunning. Pretty guy.
So the first episode, they really do up. They do Cyclops really, really well. He's got some really amazing fight sequences. That's kind of makes you look back at everything else we've seen in both animation. And, not all animation, thinking back to specifically this show, I mean, Cyclops did a lot of really cool stuff in X-Men Evolution, but, the way he uses his optic blasts to kind of move around, he utilizes the kickback of his optic blasts to dodge. It's really, really cool fight choreography with him.
Where's the optic blast going? that's like shooting a bullet out into nothing.
Well, he knows what he's doing. He shoots it off to the side, where there's no collateral damage. This is freaking Cyclops we're talking about. He knows what he's doing.
All right.
God, Evan, how could you?
Really, really, really cool fight choreography with everybody. They're utilizing Morph in battle really well. He just keeps turning into all kinds of random characters. I mean, and utilizing their abilities too during battle. So he'll be. Spiral one instant and Psylocke another, and I think he turned into Colossus once, and they're really, really using the characters very, very well. It's written like the old show but slightly more modern, and when I say more modern, I don't mean they're using modern lingo, because it's set in 1997. Jubilee still talks like a 90s teenager, but they're it's just written a little bit sharper. You know what I mean? It's a little bit less overtly melodramatic. New Jean is pretty good. New Jean is Jennifer Hale. She's done a ton of voice work. She's doing fine. In the first episodes, I think the main plot winds up the mutants want to kind of bring Genosha into the UN. And then, of course, Graydon Creed shows up, and Executioner shows up, and he has a gun that he shoots at Magneto, and Storm jumps in front of it, and it kills your mutant powers gun. Oh. So Storm has been completely depowered, and she's off finding herself with Forge in the desert right now, I think. Magneto shows some really awesome restraint by, he basically just rips everyone in charge up into space. And he's just I would kill you right now, but Professor X left me in charge of the X-Men, so I'm not going to. Please be grateful of my restraint.
It's
just fantastic. Just love it. They're also doing, as a big Gambit and Rogue fan, they're doing something that I know is comics accurate, but it's kind of cheesing me off. Like, there seems to be a Gambit-Magneto relationship going on. Not Gambit, Rogue Magneto. That's a different
show.
a Rogue Magneto relationship, and Gambit is, you know, obviously feeling jealous. I don't know. It's weird because, you know, Rogue can touch Magneto because magnetism or something like that. I don't know. It's freaking weird. They're only kind of dancing around it, but there's definitely some jealousy vibes coming out of Gambit, and I was like, don't fuck with Gambit and Rogue. Come on,
comic logic.
Just don't be mean to Gambit. Gambit's awesome.
Oh, it'll end.
Boy, let's see. So, at the end of the, you know, so Scott and Jean have baby Cable, and they're like, we're gonna leave and try to like be parents and stuff. And of course, Wolverine's being a big fucking baby about it. And then the episode, Jean and Scott are like, you know, talking about leaving, and everybody's there with the baby. And then Jean knocks on the door. And she faints. Like, oh no! There's two Jeans.
Oh no!
Uh oh.
So like, and they just jump right in. It's the whole Madeline Pryor, Mr. Sinister, Jean clone thing, and they wind that up in episode 3. Like, damn. I thought they were gonna drag that shit out long time, but they didn't. They just wrapped it right up. Then the most recent episode, in episode 4. That just aired this week, was Jubilee going off to a Mojo World in Motendo, which was just filled with specific X-Men video game references, which was pretty neat. They missed a couple of opportunities. Oh, like the Motendo logo is hilarious. It's, you know, Motendo, obviously, Mojo Nintendo, but it's in the shape of a Sega Genesis logo. Super funny. And, like, the game system shows up in Jubilee's bedroom on her, like, 18th birthday, and she thought it was a present, and the cartridge that's sticking out of it is the X-Men Sega Genesis cartridge, like, to a T. And then there's a bunch of references to, like, the X-Men arcade game in there. But even though Magneto shows up as a boss fight, he doesn't say the iconic lines from the arcade machine, which is such a huge missed opportunity. He walks right up to the line of saying, I am Magneto, Master of Magnet, or Welcome to Die. But he doesn't say either of them. Like, what are you doing? You're right there. You're right there. So that would have been the home run. It's great. It's a really great show. It's not dancing around how quote-unquote woke the X-Men are, like, at all. Everybody was so pissed off that Gambit was wearing this bright pink crop top. I'm like, have you seen Gambit? That's exactly what that man's wearing in 1997. And he was doing it while cooking beignets. Man's wearing a midriff-free crop top shirt, cooking deep frying in the kitchen. That man doesn't give a fuck. Most dangerous shit I ever seen. Deep frying stuff in a crop top. You're out of your mind. Everyone was complaining that the website listed Morph as non-binary, and it's like, this guy can turn into a chair. He's literally non-binary. He could turn into anyone at any time. Like, this isn't, what are you doing? And they're not, obviously, they're very specifically not using that terminology in the show, because that terminology didn't really exist back in 1997. Mm-hmm. But on the website, when explaining the character, he's listed as non-binary, and everyone's throwing a huge shit like, oh, they made him non-binary. It's like, he's a shapeshifter. Every shapeshifter is non-binary. That's just, what are you doing? Stop being stupid. Oh, what was the outrage on the latest one? I know it was like, there was the non-binary thing before it came out. There was the Gambit's outfit in the second one, in the first episode. I think there was outrage about the action figure of Goblin Queen, Madeline Pryor, whatever. In the show, she's, right, everyone was pissed that they made Rogue less curvy. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't have giant boobs in every shot anymore, so that's... Butt. That's a huge...
She didn't have any more junk in said trunk.
Exactly. there was the outrage about the action figure for Madeline Pryor being covered up. Goblin Queen in the show was wearing a pretty skimpy outfit, and then they gave her pants on the action figure. So that was the outrage there. I haven't seen any outrage for this episode yet.
Give it time.
Give it time. It came out yesterday,
and everybody got distracted by Silver Surfer today. So,
oh right, right, yeah, there you go.
They're paying attention to something else.
Yep, because there's got to be a problem with everything. But I don't know. I love it. I think it's great. The new intro is really cool. It's a perfect homage to the original intro. The new version of the song is great. Mm. What's neat about it is they're changing the intro in every episode. Like just like a couple of quick sequences, you know, like at the end, after they show all the characters, then they'd show like, you know, Beast jumping on something. And then like Rogue throws the Sentinel over her head. Like that's the bunch of like action shots. They're different in every episode, which is really cool. Like there's show like, oh, this is kind of what we're focusing on for this episode. So here's this character doing something cool, or this might show up in the future. Like they're just kind of splicing all these things in. Oh, that's another weird thing. Bishop's there.
What?
Okay.
He's just there. He wasn't there at the end of the last season of the X-Men cartoon. There's no explanation to why he's there now. He's just there. He doesn't do much. He fought once or twice. And then, like, Beast was working on his armband, so clearly he's stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's just there. I don't know why he's there. It makes no sense.
You'll get the answer. And that was one thing that I noticed rewatching the original series, is that they kept the show storyline, like, they kept it straight. So, like, in, I'm going to say, like, episode one or two of the original show, Beast gets arrested. Mm-hmm. And for the next eight episodes, he is still arrested. And they, like, twice within those episodes, they end up at the prison breaking someone out. He's like, no, I'm good. Go about your business.
Oh, yeah, that's the first exchange in the beginning of the third episode. Enter Magneto. Magneto busts through everything, breaks down the prison bars, and he's like, what are you waiting for? My day in court, actually. Hey, I love this guy.
And that's one thing I really appreciated about that cartoon. It didn't have to do that. Like, it didn't... It could, you know, have the fun of throwing Beast into, you know, the action scenes and making a part of the team. But like, no, he's arrested. He's going to do his time, and he's doing right by it. And
that was a very important part of the show. Yeah. It was all about them fighting for equality, and him waiting for his legal day in court was a big part of it. He's there in all the action bits now, but like, Bishop's just there. But no real explanation. And I kind of understand, like, they need some kind of time travel-y thing, because they do eventually send baby Cable into the future. And I feel like it was a little hasty, but, you know, comic books.
Yeah.
And I guess they had Bishop there to kind of help with that. But at the same time, it would have been real nice to have, like, a sentence somewhere of just like, why are you here? Because it picks up right after the end of the last episode. And Bishop was not there. So, like,
like
sometime
they move
in
a
the
plant
day
over
or two,
and he's there, like, kind of thing. Like, he's in the room.
He's just hanging out, and he fights. He's in the intro and everything. Like, he's got a little title card and everything. And
nice.
He's just there. He's not contributing to the plot in any way, shape, or form. It's just there.
So I do have two quick questions. One, how the use of Bub, is it as overt as I think it's going to be?
No. In fact, I can't remember him using it at all so far.
Okay.
But there hasn't been a ton of Wolverine yet.
Okay. Okay. Because in the promos, there was a lot of Bub. I'm like, that's going to get old quick. Second question. I don't know if you remember, the end of every episode of the original, they did that CG...
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's a new one.
They do? Cool. Cool.
There's a new one.
Cool. Because, like, I loved that part. It was, like, just... It looked like their toys, and they just...
Oh, my God, tell me you're watching it on Disney Plus. Or at least you're watching the rip from Disney Plus.
I don't know where they're coming from. And I've had them probably for a while, so probably not.
So, in the original animated series, as it aired on Fox, that little CG bit,
yeah,
you never got to see Beast, because the Marvel logo would show up.
Okay.
But the Disney Plus version has the full thing, so you get to see the CG Beast and Jubilee. Like, you get to see all of it.
All right.
So if you have access to Disney Plus, fast forward to the end of an episode so you can see the full CG thing. It was like when Disney Plus launched and X-Men landed on there, that was one of the first things that popped up. And I was like, oh my God, I can finally see the full uninterrupted crazy little mouse clicking on their icons and the CG characters spinning around. This is so awesome. That's there. Cool. It is 100% there. There's a new version with everybody on it. It's glorious.
Seems like they're doing it justice. So it's been so long since I've watched the first one. I felt it. I could not get into the second season the second version without paying tribute to where it came from first.
So. I thought about
that myself. And then I started rewatching it and I was like, I still have all this memorized. I don't need to rewatch it.
Yeah.
Wolverine, fall back. Why is Morph jumping in front of the laser? To stop Wolverine, the guy who has like an infinite healing factor from getting hit. Come on, Morph. Get your shit together.
And I gotta say, I really appreciate like that you have started watching it and that you're enjoying it so much because, I don't know what episode Evan was on, but I kind of just like walked into the room and I was like, oh, this show. Like, I immediately was like, I'm in.
You stopped.
I'm hooked. I couldn't,
Like, I actually said, you have to go. Keep moving it along.
Yeah. Like, I had something I had to do, but that show, I was so nostalgic for it. Like, it's such a good one.
It really is. Like, it's super melodramatic, but, like, everyone who was acting on that show acted their hearts out, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, they all meant it. They really took it as seriously as they could, and with just enough amount of comedy in there, too. But, like, the continuity on that show... like, there was not much else like that in children's cartoons that had that level of continuity.
No.
Like, when season one ended, and, like, Scott and Jean are talking about having a baby, and they're out having a picnic or whatever, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna have a baby, and then, like, their screen gets all fucked up, and you hear this weird squeaky Mr. Sinister, hope for the future, huh? Sinister knows what your future holds! And I'm like, whoa, Mr. Sinister's coming, that's gonna be so exciting! So then, like, the second season pops up, and they bring back Morph, and that shit was nuts! I was like, they killed that guy, and then they brought him back! That was awesome! Because, like... You just didn't see that shit unless you read the comics, but I didn't. I was a kid and I didn't have access to the comics, so this was, like, blowing my mind that Morph was back and he was evil, and they kept bringing him back, like, throughout the course of the show. Like, Wolverine be trying to track him down and be like, come on, man, come home and let us help you. And he's like, I gotta work through this shit myself. Sinister took over my brain. I'm crazy. And, like, he eventually got his shit together, but, like, oh, man, that show. I haven't seen... There hasn't been any Sabretooth yet. There hasn't been any Juggernaut yet. I'm very curious where else they're going with all this stuff.
Just recently watched the episode the first time we see Juggernaut and he robs a bank, and while he's
pulling his money or soon parted.
Yeah. So he robs a bank and then he leaves said bank, but he's being followed by Wolverine and Jubilee, and Wolverine cuts the bag that is holding the cash. In which
the burlap cash sacks.
Then Jubilee picks it up, puts it in her coat, and then walks it back to the bank and says, the rest of it's in the alley, and then pieces out.
And everyone, like, picks up the cash like, oh, I'm not giving this back to the bank. oh, my God. That Juggernaut voice. Oh, that Juggernaut voice was great.
I do remember that. Well, thank you for
sharing. So where is Xavier? Oh, my God. I love that show. Yeah. I was obsessed with that show when I was a kid. I friggin' love the X-Men.
Yeah, fun
and
fact,
such a hard time. Okay.
Oh, I went to like one of my first cons when I was younger. There was a guy selling like a bootleg edition of the show because you couldn't get the animated version anywhere. And he had beautiful box art on it, and I didn't know that that was like a thing people did illegally at the time, and I bought it.
Oh, yeah, I have a bootleg set of the DVDs.
And I don't know where it is today, but man, I watched that whole show twice. I was like, yes. Like,
I'm just going through like the IMDb
tapes and everything.
The screen caps of the IMDb list episodes.
Yeah.
Like, seeing things like, you know, Archangel and Banshee, and like they hit so many characters in the X universe that just don't do that anymore for any cartoon, especially something this massive. Like, There's no way they're going to cover it all.
Yeah, it was I have to say, it was a hell of a show. And I'm glad that we've got something else coming back with it now and that it's good. So,
yes, it is definitely a follow-up to the original series. It's doing itself well. Yeah, I don't know. I'll just say that the best line in the original series, in its entirety, the single best line was delivered by Wolverine. Because this is X-Men. This is Marvel Comics, Marvel Comicsing all over the place. It's at the beginning of the Phoenix Saga. Charles is having some weird dream about, you know, space, and he's like, he calls everyone in the war room. He's like, all right, you guys got to go hijack this spaceship. And like, everyone's looking around like, what? It's like, I can't tell you what's going on. I don't understand what's going on. I just know it's important that you guys steal this spaceship. And Wolverine just stands up. He's like, well, makes about as much sense as half the stuff we do. And he just fucking rolls with it.
Amazing.
Absolutely love it. Yeah, that's it. I'm good.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We've got aliens to talk about.
Hi, everyone. Chris here. Podcast listening is free, but podcast creation is not. That's why the Geekade Patreon exists. In an effort to help us pay the bills, we've got a Patreon page set up where you can gain access to our monthly podcast topic schedule, get early access to many of our shows, and more. If you'd like to help support Geekade and keep these shows running week after week, head over to the Geekade Patreon page, linked in the show notes of this very podcast.
We are Safe at Home, the leading dog rescue in the heart of New Jersey. Are you searching for a loyal companion, a dog that will bring love and joy to your home? Look no further than Safe at Home. At Safe at Home, we believe in giving every dog a second chance. We rescue, rehabilitate, and find loving forever homes for dogs in need, right here in the Garden State. Our dogs are ready to make a lasting impact on your life. Each one has a unique story, a wagging tail, and an incredible capacity for love. When you adopt from Safe at Home, you're not just gaining a pet, you're becoming a part of our family. Our dedicated team ensures a seamless adoption process, providing ongoing support and guidance. With New Jersey's beautiful parks, beaches, and trails, you and your new furry friend will have endless opportunities for adventures and cherished memories. Safe at Home relies on the support of compassionate individuals like you. Your donations and volunteer work enable us to continue saving lives and finding forever homes for these amazing dogs. Join us in creating a safer, happier community for dogs in New Jersey. Together we can make a difference and give every dog the chance to feel safe at home. Visit our website or call us now to learn about how you can be a part of the Safe at Home mission. Safe at Home, because every dog deserves to be loved and protected. www.safeathomerescue.org.
All right, nerds, we're back. Okay, so this episode we watched was season 3, episode 1, Lone Wolf, for the show Resident Alien. We've talked about the show many a time because we love it. It's great, and Alan Tudyk is a national treasure. This particular episode was just to kick off the season, so we encouraged anybody who wanted to follow along, get as far as you could. Chris and Karen are current, and Evan and I watched the first 3 episodes. But if you're just interested in that first episode, your plot synopsis is, in an attempt to gather information on the gray aliens, Harry puts Asta in harm's way. So I want to know how you guys felt about this episode, and then I guess later episodes, and then Evan and I can kind of, or we can share where we're at. I guess that's probably easier for you guys so you don't accidentally spoil anything.
I mean, even better. Okay.
Great.
Either way, yeah. So where we ended up, so the first episode, bringing us back into it, it's just a week after the last season ended, and I gotta say, thank goodness for, like, previously on recaps, because I really did not remember what in the heck had happened. And so they give a little flashback. You find out that the mayor has been getting abducted. You find out that the Greys are here and that somebody who should just be a sweet and wholesome police officer deputy is instead a Grey in disguise. And we know that the Grey aliens are a threat to the planet and that Harry was supposed to leave, but he did not. In this episode, the police officer in question decides to ask Asta on a date to threaten Harry. He doesn't initially say anything and thinks he can get information out of it, so he makes a makeup compact where he encourages her to powder her nose because she is told that she needs it. She doesn't.
She's sweaty.
Yeah. So naturally, she leaves it at home. Oh, and of course, Darcy now knows what's going on, which, thank God, that finally friggin' happened. And then they pretty much figure out that... you know, Asta didn't take it, and now she might be in danger, and they've resolved that going into the second issue episode. We now know that the mayor is still, for sure, getting abducted, and that it is likely that his wife did as well. And then Darcy decides to insert herself into Harry's mission to find out more about the Greys. So when he goes to investigate the Greys' apartment, she decides that she wants to tag along. And Asta has had a conversation with Harry where she now knows that the Grey is a Grey. And she's going to go on a second date because she's going to be a distraction. Well, it turns out he was on to them. He set a trap with pizza and red pepper flakes.
As you do.
And then they both ended up in the trap, but don't worry because they are saved naturally, like you do, by a 9-year-old.
12.
Oh, sorry. He's 12 now. He had a growth spurt. Jeez Louise. I can't believe that growth spurt. Let me tell you. But yeah, now he has been saved by, one of the kids in town, Max, right? Yeah, Max Hawthorne. Yeah, yeah. Because it's Kate, Max, and I always forget the mayor's name. Ben.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, Max is the alien hunter, and he... Oh, my God.
That stun gun bit where he's like, I'll just wait till you stun yourself, and then, like, a mere minute and a half later, you hear the zzz, and they see the two kids dragging him away.
Yeah. Yeah, because now his best friend is gone and, you know, he's trying to make friends with other kids, which, no, all those kids are lame. And then the third episode, they went to Yellowstone and, the Hawthorne family goes to Yellowstone. And of course, like an alien do, Harry goes with them, inserts himself right into the family vacation, discovers some fun things about the Earth being potentially under threat, but maybe not the entire Earth because he'll stop the Greys, but millions of people are likely to die anyway because the Greys have set up a giant cave system of water that it appears they plan to have erupt, killing millions. The episode ended, the third episode ended with him returning home and out of a portal steps an avian looking alien who serves him papers, basically, and tells him he has to get the hell off planet Earth. And that is where we left off. So hopefully that gives you guys some context to remember. But yeah, that was our catching up.
Where are the sheriff and Liv at the point where you...
So, oh, they just had to burn a... so Darcy and... Asta and her dad?
No.
Asta
and Darcy.
No, but her dad came too because he was like, you're not doing this alone. And they're all at the house. And then he sits her down and he's like, you need to chill. Because he talks about coming home from the war. They go and they burn all the flannels.
Yeah, I thought that was earlier. But yeah, they just...
Because they have the photo.
Yeah, because they have the photo. And then, you know, Mike is what he is.
That's the only character in this show that I just do not like.
He has his moments. It's so hard. And he, you know, then he sleeps with Judy and the letdown there. Man, Darcy showing up for Judy with the birthday cake. I was like, girl, you are just an angel. But Liv, when she, like, she's on to something and they get the print back and, you know, it's the general's print and, like, they have this win, and then she just bursts into tears because of her bitch of a grandmother. Ugh.
There's a lot of weird side, or really emotional side stories going on in this season. Like, Liv and her Nana. That was a rough one. Like, that hurt. The mayor's wife, I can't remember her name right now, but the whole crying baby thing,
God.
That was rough.
Oof.
And oddly, at the very beginning, I felt so bad for Harry when he was talking to Asta about how much he cares about her.
Wanted to kill you, but you'll kill yourself?
You're such a good friend. Where he is crying, unabashedly, just sobbing. It was so, aww.
Yeah.
They're doing a really good job. But with I can't get on board with Mike. I can't. I don't like him at all.
Yeah, Angie's right. He does have his moments, but it is 1% of the time. Yeah. He's like, okay, this guy's relatively likable. No, he's the fucking worst.
There's a thing that's going to happen between where you stopped and where we are that makes me, hope.
Uh-huh.
For him, that he could
see, but
get better.
We had that hope last season when we started seeing him with his dad, and we're like, "Oh, maybe he'll become a real human being." Nope. He's just going to be this cartoon character.
He thinks mimes are a good answer to who's
that's just stupid. Come on now. 16 weeks, and you could have owl neck. How are you a sheriff?
That shit was funny. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's weird because, this cast of characters is just... I mean, the show makes me laugh. It's funny. I think that the characters are really unique. Because, not for nothing, but Judy is the other one that I'm just like, oh, it's rough. I understand that, they're... I actually don't understand. It feels like they're... creating just, I guess, some sort of stereotype, right? For this is a mountain town, and you've got her, and she is
she's the kooky weirdo. You're talking about Judy,
weirdo, she's the kooky, but over sexually weirdo, I guess, because mm-hmm. She's just such a
she's the town bicycle,
yes.
Right? And I don't know, some of the characters just feel like, yeah, this is a character, and then some of them, it's like this is a caricature, This is
the thing about this show that is we always say is that it's better than it has any right to be.
Yes.
Because it's still at the end of the day a sci-fi show.
Yes.
Yeah.
They somehow managed to get Alan Tudyk on board, and that raised the bar way up here. But mm-hmm. The rest of the characters, some of the people are great. Some of the people definitely belong on a sci-fi show.
Yes.
But and it's that blend that they have that and somehow they make it all work that it makes me love the show even more, if I'm being honest. I really love this show. And I wasn't, oddly enough, I guess I just had this, we hadn't started the season yet, and I wasn't super jazzed. I couldn't really remember how the last season ended. And then all of a sudden I was like, no, I'm back, baby. This is great. I love this show. I'm so excited. I can't wait to watch the next episode. And then I had to avoid watching the next episode because I was like, I can't watch three in a row. This is ridiculous.
When Harry is at work and he's with the general and he's like, I saved all of your lives last week. And then they flash to him starting the bomb and then banging on it. And he's like, oh, that was close. Shit, so funny.
Why Alan Tudyk is.
He's a national treasure. The thing that I try the hardest to just pretend there's two characters solidly, maybe a third, that just do not need to be in this show. The sheriff, I understand what they're doing, but to pit him with the deputy is enough of a character. Liv is enough of a character to stand on her own, and him as a foil to her it's not working. So like, you could technically remove him from the show and the show would still be fantastic.
Yeah, but if you did that, I think then she'd figure it all out right away, because I think that he is part of what interferes with her being a more effective person.
I think her personality, of the two of them. I think her being so, I can't think of another word other than meek or so unassured of herself, that she is a bigger foil to herself than he is. And then Judy, like, she's cute and quirky and weird, but like, at one point in time, they were talking about selling their house, and all of a sudden, she's the leopard print wearing realtor. Like, wait, what? That makes zero sense. No sense. Why?
I keep forgetting that character even exists. Yeah, she's not really worth anything in the long run.
One of those sci-fi show characters.
Yeah,
just like, just, what is this person doing here?
What is your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
But I hard agree. This show is wonderful, and the cast is generally great. Mm-hmm. I do think that they're, I feel like they're ignoring the kid too much this season.
Max, yeah.
Max is just kind of, he's not there very often. And when he is there, I feel like he's got a lot to say. He's got a lot of emotion behind what he's saying, but it's just like, it seems like it's like the D plot. It's, too far down the list for a character that's been too important to the show thus far. That's kind of my only real complaint about the season, other than, you know, the sheriff just being the fucking worst.
There's a lot of storylines going on.
There are a lot of storylines going on. And the whole thing with, the mayor's wife,
Kate.
That was, Kate. So you saw her with the baby.
We saw her with the baby, and the last we saw was at Yellowstone, where she went to like the neighbor's room and creepily asked to hold the baby.
Right. Because I don't know if you remember, last season where she thought she was pregnant,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then like she wasn't, but like she was,
right?
Mm-hmm. And like, so that's the storyline that's kind of like sticking with me, that I'm like really waiting for some resolution on. I think her story this season has been interesting to watch, and I'm just kind of getting frustrated with her and her husband not being on the same page about it yet, because clearly, you know, they're both being abducted, but mm-hmm. getting them on the same page is going to be a huge relief when that eventually happens.
Mm-hmm. So what's the deal with Darcy? I mean, I don't remember there being a resolution to her drug problem from the season before. Like, she was on pain meds. Like, she was overdoing mm-hmm. it with pain meds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And had that been cleared up? Like, did we fix that?
I think so. It doesn't seem to be an issue this season.
It was sort of like, you know, her friends realized she had a problem and confronted her about it, and she said she was going to stop. Whether there was all like rehab or anything.
No, but like there was a resolution. Like somebody realized it, and then they confronted it in some way, shape, or form. Because at one point in time in one of these episodes, she was sitting there with Asta, and Asta got up and walked away, and she pulled a liquor bottle out of the couch cushion to show like she was sneaking alcohol now. Like, I don't, like, she works at a bar. Like, there's really, I don't understand why she's sneaking that kind of thing. I'm just slightly confused. I love Darcy, and I love her character. I love the way she interacts with everybody else on the show. Like, she is the glue for this show and everybody else's interactions in it. I don't like it when they I don't like her in pain. I want her to be okay.
You care. That's cute.
I do.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember exactly. Like I said, some of the plot, this is always the issue for me going from one season to another in a show. I don't remember things.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of, like, and this show is infamous for having a lot of plot lines going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and season two was very convoluted with, like, the time travel, and, like, there was another alien that was trying to talk to him, but it turned out it was him from the future. Like, it was very convoluted.
That's right, with the egg. I remember that.
You would not be blamed for, like, not fully getting it or not fully remembering, because it wasn't that it didn't make sense. It was just a lot.
Right. And so there are little bits that I still find a tad confusing, but, like, overall, I mean, I'm still engaged enough, and we get the gist of, like, the main and most important plot points enough that I'm like, all right, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they took it up yet another notch. They made the world a bomb. Okay, yeah. Good on you. I'm curious as to where we're going to go with the general, because, like, she was heavy episode one, popped in episode two, didn't see her till the end of episode three, where she did, like, one of those phone call things, and she's lovingly looking at a photograph of the guy from the Lost Island. The original alien hunter?
Yeah, the alien tracker guy.
Alien tracker guy. So she is, I'm assuming, involved with him in some... involved with him in some way, shape, or form.
So, there are many twists and turns, Evan. Many twists and turns are coming.
Given the fact that the general is Linda Hamilton, I do feel she's being underutilized. I don't think that's, like, anyone's fault. It's just that you know...
She's getting the Chuck shadowy treatment.
The, like, shadowy organization that she's part of is not really, doesn't have a big role as yet that mm-hmm. we've seen. So, like, I don't know. I love her. I want to see more of her because she's fucking Linda Hamilton. She kicks ass.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, she does.
Yeah. And you guys are caught up. So I guess we still have a few episodes. I don't know if something else will happen, but I've definitely felt like, every now and then she shows up, and I'm like, no, okay. Still very much in the background? Okay.
I mean, in episode two, they were making her, like the annoying boss, trying to get Harry to go to work. I'm like, this is not a good use of Lynn. You're absolutely, they are. Like, I immediately remembered how they used her in Chuck. And, like, this is, mm-hmm. I don't want this for Linda Hamilton. Like, this could be a good solid role, but that would mean adding another goddamn storyline to this show, and I'm done.
Right. I'm I will say, all the things that you guys are intrigued in are, you know, definitely going places.
Mm.
Cool.
I had a feeling. I mean, I don't feel like they waste plot lines, you know?
You know what? I have a question there, and I'm going to assume it. If the answer is a spoiler, like a true spoiler, don't answer. But there was a flashback, I guess, or an old-timey section of the episode where they were showing a little girl with a snow globe, and that snow globe ended up on the spaceship where Ben is abducted. Is that supposed to be Linda Hamilton?
No, she was
unclear.
Okay, because, like, I was going to say, like, that's way too far of a time jump. Like, okay. All right, cool.
I also have to say that I'm just really happy to see Enver Gokaj as Joseph, the gray alien.
Mm.
I love him so much.
What do you love him from?
Agent Carter.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, what kind of question is that?
For me, he's from Dollhouse. No. I like that.
No.
Yes, he's also from Dollhouse.
Right, but we love him as Joseph, like, or
he was
as Daniel.
So
like,
sweet
we love
in Dollhouse.
Him.
Like, you just wanted him to live.
Wait, he dies?
I'm not telling you. You haven't watched Dollhouse.
Hold on. I feel like you just gave me a major spoiler, and now I'm not going to get invested.
No.
How very dare.
According to the show, Dollhouse, everybody dies. So. Last episode, flash forward 20, 30, 40 years, apocalyptic future. What are you doing, Joss?
Well, I'm hoping that the Joseph character on this show has, there's like a plot twist and he flips sides. That's my hope. Well,
he left, didn't he?
Well, he didn't know what was going on. The last I saw, he didn't know what was going on. He'd been captured, and then Harry just lets him go. And that,
oh, that's right.
Like, he
the whole, and then the refrigerator repairman would be very talkative. I will learn far too much about film photography.
Yeah, like, also, like, those little scenes, like, I feel like they make fun of themselves a lot, and they just have so much fun. The show feels like it's so much fun. Like, fun for the makers and fun to watch. God, it's a great show.
I do like the fact that every time Max shows up on screen, Harry is an alien.
Yeah.
Every time. Yes. Like, we know that Max sees him as an alien, but because Max is on screen, we get to see him as an alien, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
But, yeah, I will say, I that is a thing that I was thinking about, too, is, like, and they, I don't want to, it feels like they just keep making Max dumber. Do you guys feel that way at all?
Well, he was
never super bright, but I didn't feel like he was borderline incompetent.
Well, no, but see, that's the thing. Like, this, I don't even know which episode it was, but like, he is not, he's goofy, but like, he's not incompetent. Like, he saves Harry. Like, he comes in with the Chucky stick thing. He saves them from the laser box. Like, he's doing what he needs to do. I think it's just, I don't know why they are, you like, why did they get rid of the other girl? What was the point of that? Like, have her first two episodes, and then all of a sudden would she even make it into the second episode?
Her, his friend, the,
yeah,
yeah,
the girl in the hijab.
Yes. So,
oh yeah, she's not gone.
Okay, cool. That's just weird.
She's not gone. That was just a plot point. Don't worry.
But it is weird that they made her go away.
It is weird that they made her go away. Because it didn't really, because when she came back, it's like, okay, well then why did you do that? Because like, yeah, you have gone for like an episode and then she's back and it's like, all right, but
it was like it was a really weak reasoning too. Like, I got accepted into an advanced school thing, so I gotta go. Like, that that sounds like a TV show plot. Stop it.
Well, I was also kind of wondering, what the hell time of year is it that they were just like, we're going to Yellowstone. Okay, bye. Don't worry about school.
It was the winter.
Yeah, like winter break. Sure. Okay.
And I don't think they really care much about school.
As a parent of school-age kids, I can say that, like, not us, but some people, when they get, like, a deal on a trip, they don't give a fuck about school. They're like, we're going. You're going to miss a couple days of school. It's going to be fine.
True.
You'll be fine. It'll be fine. Don't worry. All right. So, I am.
The reason we know that is that our kids will be like, oh, so and so went on a trip and they went, you know, and then we'll get the report from our kids about their friends and we'll just sit there and go,
must be nice. Nice. I am extremely curious as to what's going to happen with Bird Girl. I've seen tales told that there will be a love interest, which is very weird.
That was the reason why I was kind of like, ah, crap. Like, I don't want to go too far right now because the episode titles implied maybe something was going to happen. I don't know. I don't want to know. But when it says Lovebird, come on.
You guys are not ready.
Okay.
I'm not ready.
All right.
You're not ready. That's all I can say.
I'm not. Also, I just, yeah.
It's not a reflection on you. It's physically impossible to be ready for what's coming.
Well, considering that I didn't know this character was going to exist before, yeah, I could say there was no way to prepare. I'm not ready.
This
I don't want
like
to be ready.
A whole new level of Vanderspiegel.
Next level.
Next level, Vanderspiegel. There it is. Write
there
that
it is.
Down.
Yep.
And for those,
you write it down. I'm not how to spell it.
The final question that I have, seeing as you guys are caught up, and I don't want to, I just want a yes or a no. But does Nathan Fillion show up again?
Not yet.
Shit. God, I want that. I love that guy. I want him in everything, especially with. The two of them, when they get together, man, it is fun times.
I mean, Sort of.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's no Nathan Fillion voice attached to it, but there is an octopus callback.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a Nathan Fillion tease, is what you're telling me.
It was Nathan Fillion a Jace.
Got it.
And I guess we should just give the audience context now that the reason I want feet pics may have something to do with the mayor on the show, except I don't want people
to. So, like, why did they give that to the sheriff? Like, why did they give that storyline to that guy?
I don't know, because he was really friggin' into it, and he had a nice camera. I don't know, and I thought it was funny. And, like, that's the thing. Like, weird quirks about these characters, and I'm like, yeah, I'll buy it.
Well, which, I don't know if you know this, honey, but film is far superior to digital, so that's why he had that camera.
Yes, well, I know that now. Thank you, Refrigerator Pearman. Like, anyway, that's it on Resident Alien. I think we can all say with love and affection that this show is great.
Still far better than it has any right to be.
Yes.
Correct.
And everyone should watch it because you will just laugh and enjoy it. And the acting, the way that Alan Tudyk does the body language and just... Oh my God. It's incredible.
It's the line delivery, everything. Yeah. His speech pattern.
Oh, the timing? The line when he... I can hear him through
comedy
my headphones.
It's all about... For, like, I don't know, 45 seconds of tongue pulling and then proceeds to say...
Timing.
Oh, fuck, that guy is great.
Yeah. So that's our episode.
Master of his craft.
Yes, he is.
He is. I think that's enough on television. Chris, you want to give us a social media spiel?
Oh, geez, I'm not. That was fast. That just came out of nowhere. There's
just
no wrap up. Just
winding
like
down.
No, fuck. We're going right for it.
I mean, I was saying we love it. It's a national treasure. All right. So Chris will give us the spiel in a second, honey. You pick next. Do you know what you're picking?
Yeah, but we do that after the spiel.
We do that after the spiel. I'm good.
Okay.
I can jump right in. I can do this.
All right, Chris. Spiel it.
Show's over. Suck it up. Get out.
We're done. Get out. I don't want to talk to you nerds anymore.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. This week's episode is not filmed before a live studio audience, but it is fueled by feedback from listeners like you. And you can get in touch with us in a multitude of ways. We have an official Geekade Discord channel where there's an entire This Week's Episode channel dedicated to all things TV talk and, of course, the regular Geekade social media accounts linked to in the show notes. More of us can be found in various ways. You can read my work at StoneAgeGamer.com and in the pages of Nintendo Force magazine. Karen, where can people find you?
At STM Stitches on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Etsy.
Angie, where can people find you?
Go to nowhere. I quit. No, my Instagram. Go to A Fernot on Instagram. That's FERNOT.
And Evan, if people were so inclined to find you on the internet, where would they do it?
You can head
only over. Fans.
Only fans. Feet pick. Head over to Tales of Cape Fear and check out Angela's website as well, because I am putting up new product.
Oh, are you?
I will be.
Oh, finally. Ooh, God. Wow. You know, it's almost like I don't pay him for this work.
You don't pay me for anything.
If you need to know more about the shows we discussed tonight or what we'll be watching in the future, have a look at our show notes. And if you have any other questions at all, we can always be reached at mail@geekade.com. Just include the words this week's episode, the subject line, so we know who you're trying to reach. This show is available anywhere fine podcasts are sold, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and more. And wherever you decide to listen, please comment, like, subscribe, share, leave reviews, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. Again, always keep your eyes on Geekade for more fresh, original content. Back to you, Angie.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's hard to find good health these days. My goodness. All right, honey.
All right, now.
Jesus Christ. I tried to change things up, and everybody was like, oh, God, no.
No. Okay, so we are going to watch a new cartoon that I came across called Grimsburg. I'm going to watch Grimsburg Season 1, Episode 1, The Pilot. Stars John Hamm as Detective Marvin Flute and it has an amazing voice cast of characters, including Alan Tudyk.
Oh, so hooray!
I am crazy curious. I saw this. I need to see more of it. So I'm going to watch season one, episode one.
Just keep the Tudyk train going.
Yippers. I mean, it's a great train to be on. Let's not lie.
The Tudyk train. I'll ride that train.
Heyo.
Anyway. All right. So that's your homework, people. Check it out. I have not heard of this until you just said it, so I'm very curious now.
It's a John Hamm-led cartoon.
I know,
so.
You piqued my interest. Yeah. Wow. All right, folks. Well, that's going to do it for us. I'm super done now. All right, here we go. From all of us here at this week's episode, I'm Angie.
I'm Karen.
I'm Evan.
This is some bullshit.
Good night.
Motherfucker stole my quote.
I prefer it with the whipped cream.
And this concludes our broadcast day.